the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and He listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night, it's drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, we're homeward bound. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Oh, aren't you glad you've been set free? Aren't you glad He paid a price that you couldn't pay? Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. We are so honored tonight to be here. It's an honor to have you here. Most of all, it's an honor to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our midst tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Yes, He did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Saturday night. And we're back in our post of beauty to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. Got just a few requests tonight. If you don't mind to just stand with me for just a few minutes. Sister Donna Pistol either suffered a heat exhaustion or a heat stroke. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Sister Cheryl McClellan from Alberta called and asked for prayer for her granddaughter who was healed of a cancerous tumor which has returned. She has to have surgery on Monday. Also pray for Sister Cheryl's mother who has cancer behind her ear. Will also be having surgery. The doctors have said that they may have to remove her ear, but she is believing that God can and will heal her. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Jane Tarrow is in the will be released from the hospital on Monday and will go to Hillview for rehabilitation. She is getting better day by day, and she wants to give thanks to the Lord for that. Brother Gene sends that in. So we praise the Lord for her recovery tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn asks that we would pray for a man that he knows at Walmart. His son has terminal prostate cancer, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Brother Reese says he wants to thank the Lord for traveling mercy, going down to see his grandchildren. The Lord just mindful of him, and he wants to thank the Lord. And we certainly want to pray for all those that are traveling this weekend. Such a dangerous time to be on the highways. Let's just pray that God would give all those that are traveling mercy as we remember them in prayer tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe that with all your heart? Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer as we just commit these things unto the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen, Brother David. God bless you. Appreciate you, man.
Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we again deem it a privilege, Lord, to come into your house. We never want to take it for granted, Lord. We just appreciate it. We do appreciate all you've done for us, Lord. We could spend the rest of our life thanking you, and it wouldn't be enough. That's why we'll spend eternity with you, Lord. We can't wait. Just every day we get up. We won't even have to get up, but every day will be praise and worship to our King. Thank you for that, Lord. I have these requests in my hand, Lord, and they're each one is special to you. You said that even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but that you see it, Lord. So how much more the request of your children? You're very concerned, Lord. You're just waiting for us to ask with faith, believing for them. And that's what we're going to do now, Lord. As a body of believers, we don't just do it just for a tradition, Lord, but we do it with faith because we know that you're real, that you answer our prayers, Lord. We've seen it time and time again. It doesn't matter what the devil or enemy comes and says and does, and if cancer comes back on us, it doesn't matter. You're still our healer. You're still our deliverer. No matter what, you always come out on top, Lord. You're always the winner. And we thank you for that. May you just have your way in the service today, Lord, this evening. May we prepare ourselves for the preaching of the word. We know when the Israelites go into battle, they would always go first. The singers would go first, Lord. And then the ark would come next. And then it was time for the battle. So help us, Lord. Help us to put our shoulders to the wheel to sing. Help Brother Louis to bring an atmosphere that the word would come forth and that we defeat the enemy on every hand. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight, Just a Little While to Stay Here. Do you believe that with all your heart? It's just a little while. I was just listening as Brother David was praying there, you know, to a child of God that has contacted some kind of a disease, say a cancer, and that cancer takes them out of this world. You know what? That day, that cancer dies. But that child of God lives on and on and on and on. A heart attack takes a child of God out of here. That heart attack's over. A child of God lives on and on and on. Hey, we can't die. We can't lose. We're winners. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Just a little while to stay here. Amen. Let's sing about it if you believe it tonight. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trust. This low and sinful state.
day will begin. Help me sing it.
Sing a little chorus tonight. Brother Chuck, if you'd get ready to come sing for us tonight. We'll sing this chorus. Then we'll have Brother Chuck sing. Let's sing the little chorus. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Let's see if we can sing that tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? He is good, isn't He? He's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of our life. I'm going to give you a little testimony just to kind of help you just a little bit. There's a man standing here looking at me tonight, Brother Phil Goulds. And Brother Phil, as a teenager, just a young man that I just somehow our paths crossed and we just become acquainted and become friends. And when he couldn't find nothing else to eat, no word he's out of money, he always come to our house. Is that right, Brother Phil? He come to our house. And in the floor one night, he was laying in the floor. Glenn and I were sitting on the couch. And we began to talk about what God had done. This goes back into the 70s. What God had done in this hour. The truth that He had revealed. And Brother Phil began to see and begin to believe and begin to see the message and begin to believe the message. A lot of waters went under the bridge since that day. But here he sits and stands in this building tonight. A trophy to the grace of God. You got all kinds of testimonies tonight. I don't know how you come in. I don't know how I come in except by the grace of God. By His mercy, I had to see this. You had to see this. You was called to believe the message of the hour. Are you glad you was called to it? Are you glad you was handpicked to believe it? Give Him another hand clap of praise if you love Him. With all your heart. Oh, our God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good. With all your heart. Oh, I said, my God is good. Let's give Brother Chuck a nice hand tonight as he sings. Certainly appreciate Brother Chuck Dixon, don't we? Amen. God bless you tonight, Brother Chuck. We love you, buddy.
Pray for me. I got a sneezing fit on the way to church, and maybe I can get through it. It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. Pled the blood of Jesus. I begged Him to forgive my sins. It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus. I begged Him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again. Lord, wash my sin. But this was all He'd say. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll ever carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so just let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, He's quick to forgive our sins. Let Him put them under the blood. Don't you bring them up again. 'Cause He'll just say, yes. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. Sin, what sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea forgetfulness. Oh, Lord, deliver me from my accusing memory, 'cause nothing makes me weak this way. And then I hear you say, sin, what sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? What sin? Oh, what sin? It was gone the very minute you. Sea of forgetfulness. What sin? What sin is far away as the east is from the very minute you confess, buried in the sea of forgetfulness, buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Hallelujah. Well, what sin? Well, I seen you do this last month. What sin? I believe there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad it's the blood's just as much power tonight as it ever has? I believe it is. I believe it's here for us tonight. Praise be to God. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Certainly an honor to be able to be here again with you in the house of the Lord. And I've been just enjoying my time at the house. My family has went out of town on us. And so I've been there by myself, and I've been having myself a time. Nobody to disturb me and nowhere to run. And so I just kind of locked myself up there and just... find the presence of the Lord and just praying. So we certainly prayed concerning the things we're going to look at this weekend, and trust the Lord to just come and help us. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. And then I want to also go to the book of Romans chapter 8, and we'll use that for our text tonight. Isaiah 60 and 1, Brother Bram's sermon when he preached on the message, Shalom. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on thee. There ain't no reason to be depressed then, is there? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But that's not talking about me. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Watch how personal he makes it, to thy light. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. This is, of course, where Paul is dealing with the corruption in our bodies, and he's crying out as he goes through Romans chapter 8, and then he comes down to verse 21, and he's talking about the creature itself shall be delivered from bondage, Romans 8, 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, it groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now notice he's not talking about a dying. He's actually talking about a birth. It's already dead. The Message Birth Pains, Brother Bram tells us the reason why the earth is growing is because it's given birth to something. For the whole creation, it groaneth, but then it travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to be able to gather in this place again. Lord, I'm just want to step aside now, Lord, for these allotted moments that you've given us now, and that, Lord, you would just help me to be able to yield to you. And Lord, you know every need that's in this place tonight, Lord. You know every heart that's represented here. And Lord, we're asking that you would just come, take your word. And Father, may you just use the word, Lord, to sever things from us. Use your word, Lord, to encourage your people. Help those, Lord, that might be fighting battles and going through trials and troubles. We ask, Lord, that your word, Lord, may it find a resting place in their heart. And we ask, Lord, that you would just come, anoint us freshly tonight. Lord, may we just be yielded in your presence. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, for you're worthy. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated for a few moments. I'm going to start this watch so I can keep time tonight. We like to just pick up on this little subject that we've kind of combed just for the last couple weeks on restoring order. It's just unending when you start looking at it, so I'm just trying to find a place just to bring this to an end so we don't bore you with it. But I think the word is tremendous, and how that it ties in so many different places, and how that God unveils it to us and opens it up to us. And just to kind of get our minds going this direction, we are looking at through the message, and how we even picked it up Wednesday night on how that Jesus was sent to restore the order during the time of the storm. And we took it through an evangelistic type of thought. And we know that when we start in the creation, as we have looked at, we know that Brother M tells us that this earth being an attribute of God, and how that this earth being created, but yet whenever God began to express His Word, His spoken Word, He first establishes His Word, and then after God speaks His Word, everything after that has to come into order, or it has to come into materialization. And we know that whenever God created the earth, we know that the Bible tells us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness being upon the face of the deep. And then the prophet tells us that the earth was in a chaotic state. And the earth being in such a chaotic state, we know that it was actually in a place of disorder, in a way of disorder. But not that it was confusing to God. The disorder didn't confuse God. The chaos didn't confuse God, because God had already spoke His word. Amen. And I'll say this, it still don't confuse Him tonight. Chaos doesn't confuse God. He's already spoke His word. And we know that whenever He began to expound upon the creation by speaking His word, that the earth there, of course, having the water upon it, and Brother Ram said it swirling out into the universe, and how that it being in such a place of disorder, and you and I being that same type, as the earth being an attribute and you being an attribute, that's exactly the way God that found you and I. He found us in an unconverted state, living in chaos, darkness upon the face of the deep. That's the way He found us. But the way He found me was not going to be the way He was going to leave me. And we know that God was going to bring a change upon the face of the deep. God's desire is always to bring a change upon the face of the deep. He found us in the darkness of this world, but He did not leave us in the darkness of this world, but He chose to change us. And God was expressing by His word to let us know that when He was expressing, saying, let there be, that being God's word. And God's word, of course, it's not like man's word. Man may say one thing today, change it tomorrow, something out the next day, something different the next week. But when God speaks His word, you can take God's word to the bank. When God says it, God's not going to retract it. He's not going to try to confuse it and try to get you to figure out, well, if you could just see it a certain way. When God says says, God means what He says. Now, your understanding may not be the way that God says it, but you give God enough time, He will bring His word to pass. Amen. And so when God begins to speak His word, it's absolute. His word is truth. His word, it's principle. You can base your life on it. You can rest your soul upon it because God's word cannot fail. My word failed. The government's words failed. Trump words failed, but God's word ain't going to fail. The Pope word has failed. Bishops have failed. Many of theologians has failed, but our God's word, it cannot fail. Amen. And the word that He spoke concerning the earth, that word was not going to fall. It doesn't matter the condition. It don't matter the disorder. God had already spoke His word. And then when God says it, it has to come to pass as God has said it. Now God begins to speak, and by God speaking, God's making a declaration. And then when God makes a declaration, it's incredible when you find the scripture that when God makes a declaration, listen, now many years may go by before it ever happens, and though the vision may tarry, the Bible says wait on it. And though it tarry, wait on it, because it's yet for an appointed time. Now when God says it, God knows there's a season. But you realize, you look at it, and God says something, and we say, God, we want that right now. God says this is going to be, and we say, God, we want it right now. Sometimes it's not right now. Sometimes God says it, and it's only to be fulfilled in its season and its hour. Amen. Now we know that Brother Ram tells us in the message of power transformation, with God speaking His word and it coming to pass. Brother Ram tells us now in Genesis, the first chapter, he said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And Brother Ram said, we realize that the water, and the Bible said in the beginning back there, that this world was without form and void. There was nothing but just a darkness of chaos. That's Brother Ram's word, chaos. And what a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but way into the darkness yonder, without light or nothing or anything. And the churning of the water, and that wandering star twisted around and around its orbits out there somewhere. And it must have been a terrific mass of something lost, like it was. It couldn't find its way. Oh, brother, that's the way my life was. You and I was twisted out into this world. We had all kinds of ideas that had led us away, far away from God. And we had absolutely nothing to know about God. And you and I realized we was in a terrific mess ourselves. Amen. Our mass was in a mess. But I want to remind you, we was lost. We could not find our own way. No star could find its own way. The earth could not find its own way. But God had a position that the earth was going to start falling. And God knew there was a place that the earth was going to finally, as Brother Abraham said, God spewed it out of him, and it fell for so long until finally it found a place, and God said, stop right there. And that's the same type with your life. That's the same type with my life. You may have been in this world 30 years or 45 years, or like the brother, that woman that Brother speaks about on tape, that he said, I saw her there, that she was a convert at 90 years old. For 90 years, she had been twisting around in the universe, falling as it was, living all kinds of ways. But brother, at 90 years old, God finally found that place for that star, that Son of God, to finally come to a place where it would stop. And when God stopped it, it got into its order. Hallelujah. Don't you realize, friends, 90 years don't mean nothing to God. It doesn't scare God because it was so long. When God spoke His word, it must stop when God says it to stop. Hallelujah. Oh my, we was without hope, without God, without the turning around out in darkness, not knowing where we were going. And God took that chaos of darkness and He transformed it. Hallelujah. Into a Garden of Eden. See? By His word. And that's how we're transformed. Oh, listen now. We're transformed by God's word. It's not by man's word. It's not by the preacher's word. But God's the one that has the power to transform our lives. God's word is transformation power behind it. Now once it gets in the right place, then transforming power can move over whatever it is and be able to bring it from one state to another state. Or how we're transformed by God's word. When God said, let there be light, and that mass of creation out there, it come over around the sun, and it began to revolve around the sun. It became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the word of God. You see, the Word had presented a boundary. Hallelujah. The Word had a boundary, and the earth could not pass the boundaries that God had set it up to be. Oh, you and I had a boundary that God knowed He would finally usher us into our place. You may have sat in Baptist and Methodist, Presbyterians, Church of the Brethren, whatever it may have been, but finally you come to the place just like I did, that we recognize that God had done something for us individually. That's how we're transformed by God's Word. A mass of creation will come around the sun, begin to revolve around the sun. It became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the Word of God. It done the perfect will of God, for it was transformed from chaos into order, I'll say. From chaos into a Garden of Eden by the Word of God. What is the Garden of Eden going to do? Manifest seed that's already laying there. That's the, listen, God creates an atmosphere around the garden so it can bring forth seed that's already laying there. And your life is a seed garden as well. And God had to put the right atmosphere at the right time because He said so. He had to put you in the right place because He said so in order to bring forth the seed that laid inside of you. He transformed it from chaos into a Garden of Eden by the Word of God. Now think of this. The earth went from one thing to another. It was transformed from one thing to a complete something else. Now listen, even though it was in chaos, it's in disorder, it was without form, it was void, but God's Word got a hold of the chaos. God's power can transform chaos. He can transform it in my life. He can transform it in your life. He can transform it in your children's life. You may have wayward children. Let me encourage you tonight. God's Word can transform chaos. You may have sickness that's plaguing your body, but God's Word can transform chaos. Something happens to the earth. Something begins to change upon the face of the deep. What happened? God's Word come to its season. Amen. I'm talking about them. I'm preaching about now. It come to its season. It come to its rightful time. It come to its rightful order. And it took the power of transformation to be able to change it. No other power can do it. Let me say it, the earth had no power to do it on its own. And you had no power to do it on your own. You couldn't change yourself to make you a Christian. You couldn't take your sins away. You couldn't wipe your sins away. I say it took God's power transformation to come over that life in you to change you. The earth has no ability on its own. I say the quicker we learn this, the better off we're going to be, Brother Terry. Brother Amos, the quicker we can learn that our bodies has to become subject to the Word of God and it has no ability on its own. Listen, friend, you're not saved by works. You're not saved by how much you pray. But if you're saved, you will pray. If you're saved, you will have works. But you're not saved because you do them. You're saved because He transformed you from one thing to another. You're not saved by man's ideas. You're not saved by your own ability. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The power of the earth, it was helpless. It was helpless. But maybe it seemed like you're just dependent on Him. We was helpless. We was helpless. We was wandering stars. Wandering down every man's imagination. Oh, the earth could not change itself. It didn't have no power on its own. But Jehovah Elohim, glory, moved down at a certain season and transformed this earth. It took transformation to bring every seed to manifestation. Now notice, you can't expect something to grow in the middle of darkness and chaos. It's against the law of God.
That's the reason why you've got to come to Him in its season. As long as there's darkness on your life and around your life, how can that seed ever come to the place that God wants it to? As long as you're doing it your way and saying it your way, believing your way, the seed cannot grow. But one time in the presence of Jehovah, what can God do with you?
Hallelujah. This happened to me. This happened to you. God's power. I love saying that. God's power of transformation. Amen. What's He transforming me to be? Inhabitable. He wants to... Remember, He's going to eventually come to the place of rest. Hallelujah. But He can't rest as long as the earth is in this condition. He can't rest yet. Hallelujah. He can't rest in your life. He can't rest upon the throne of your heart as long as there's darkness and you're churning and twisting and falling. He can't rest yet. But when He brings you to a proper place and He changes your life and He transforms you from chaos into order, now He can cease from His works. He can rest. He wants a place to inhabit. He wants a place to live. God wants to dwell. Hallelujah. He wants to dwell among us. He does not want to be Emmanuel. He wants to be God inhabiting you and I. Oh, I remember when God's power moved over me. Oh my, brother, for a long time, you thought you may have had it. You was hoping that you may have had it. But whenever God changes you, there ain't no guessing about it. There ain't no wondering about it. You don't have to wonder if I'm saved. I don't have to wonder if I got the Holy Ghost. You know whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. The Holy Ghost is holy. Brother Heaven David, how do I know if I got the Holy Ghost or not? Look at the desire that you got in your soul. I'm not talking about your mistakes. I'm not talking about the mistwirling, the darkness that tries to pull at your life and pull at my life. I'm talking about when the Word moves over you and it inhabits your life. What is the deepest desire of your soul tonight? If your deepest desire is being a bar stool besides on a church pew, something wrong. Well, Brother David, all my friends are out having a big time. Well, all my friends are in here having a big time. Hallelujah! Brother, I'll tell you why. There's something about the presence of God. When you come into the house of God, there's something about God's presence that does something to our lives. Hallelujah! It took God's power to transform it. The earth has got to be habitable. So it's got to be changed. Now listen where I'm going. In order to bring the earth to the fullness of what God has spoken, He's got to change the, I want to say body. He's got to change the earth. Now, because it's not completely suitable, because no doubt, little by little as it turns around the sun, maybe one part begins to unfall and it comes to a place where it can inhabit life. But while it's turning, maybe the backside of it is not completely there, so it can be in between the stages of change. Might just be justified, came around the message a little bit, hearing a few quotes and reading your Bible a little bit, but yet really not completely being changed yet. Remember, He has to revolve it around. So maybe it's just in, oh, it's in the motion of it, but it ain't done yet. All I can say is don't give up on Him. Don't give up on Him. You may have been in motion for many of years, but let me tell you, if God started this work, rest assured, He's going to finish this work. He which started this work in me will finish in to the day of our Lord. Don't worry if He started. Don't worry, He will finish it. Amen. You may look at part of your life and say, well, they're not a pretty good old boy, and then you rub them the wrong way. You go, they got some darkness still on them. Remember, I'm talking about the cat. He said, as long as you rub the cat the right way, it just purrs and real nice. The cat's really friendly and
Oh, he likes to rub up against you as long as you're petting him going the right way. But you start rubbing him the wrong way against the hide. Amen. I want to say this. We've dealt with people around this message like that. As long as you're saying what they say, oh my, pet the cat the right way, and they just sit and purr and smile. But you start telling them about God's sent a prophet. You start telling them about Revelation 10, 1 through 7. You start telling them about Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30. You start telling them that and watch the nature, and you'll find out they ain't changed yet. They still got some chaos. They still got some darkness. They're not done yet.
It's got to make you inhabitable completely. Amen. God wants no chance. His word has already been said. It'll take no chance of coming short. It's not suitable for change. It's unfit for change. It's not ready for change. It can't be completely dressed. Amen. It can't be dressed yet because it's not suitable to wear the dress yet. Oh, but when God got done with it and it was transformed from chaos, you'll never tell me that there ain't something that swells up in you that you'll be like that woman at the well. You're going to want to run and tell somebody. If you see a desire change, if you see a nature change, if you see habits leave your life, maybe you was a smoker, maybe you was an alcoholic. When those things begin to leave your life, you can't help but to testify. You know why? Transformation happened. Transformation took place. And when a change began to happen, you want to run and tell everybody that you see. You don't care whether they're believers, unbelievers. You don't care if they're dope addicts, alcoholics. You want somebody to know, I serve a God that is real and is Word moved on me and His Word changed me. Hallelujah. Oh my. When God got done with you, you're a garden that could bring forth seed life. The earth has to be conditioned to be fruitful. It has to bring forth the fruits of the seed that is in it. Hallelujah. Now it can grow for a little while, but eventually, under the right atmosphere, under the right timing, the season of the fruit is going to show up on the limbs. I'm not trying to paint nobody. I'm being honest with you. You cannot keep, if an apple has apple seed life in it, and that life is down inside that seed, eventually under the right season, the right rays of the sun, under the right atmosphere with the right soil and the right kind of water, eventually you're going to find out what kind of a tree that is. Amen. Somebody listen, don't you realize you can't take the seed that's got life in it, plant it one day, dig it up tomorrow, plant it the next day, dig it up the next day. When you plant that in there, let God take care of it. All you can do is rest it within this earth and know that our God is going to bring His law over that seed to bring that seed to materialization. It will bring forth fruit of the Spirit. Amen. He'll have love. He'll have brotherly kindness. And not just in your house. I thought this right here is what I'd get in trouble at. It will produce the fruits of the Spirit if it's growing right. You can't keep from it coming. You can't keep it from happening. Not trying to manufacture something. Amen. Not living some hypocritical life and just wondering if you got it. If he's sure if you got it, brother, you don't have to guess. You will know by the fruits that it bears. Hallelujah. Brother, if you ain't got joy, you never had no joy, something's wrong somewhere. I said something's wrong somewhere. Maybe Satan's brought some darkness around and you need God's word to cast it out. God got a hold of the earth and transformed it. Now, talking about God's power to transform. Now think about this. Even though the earth
It was formed into a place to be inhabited. This is powerful. There's still things upon the face of the earth that was there before it became inhabitable. And they're still there after He changes it. Now watch where I'm going. The water was on the face of the deep. And it covered the earth. But it wasn't that there shouldn't be water. It's just the water was out of order. I said the water was out of order. It still was going to have water, but He had to put the water back in the order. He had to divide it in places where the Word said it would be at. Your outside man may have some features that it had before you got transformed. People, they got tattoos when they was children. I said that right. When they thought as children. Today, whatever that is, whether it's a heart or whatever it might be, may be a shrunken heart. And it's still on the face of the body. But that doesn't mean it ain't a habitable life. May have some scars that you had as a child growing up, that does not mean it ain't been transformed. Hallelujah. There's still something happened. What happened? What did God do? He put those things in their place in order. Quit drinking booze when you got saved. Amen. We got intoxicated to the stimulation. Going somewhere, hang on. But when you got saved, you wasn't sitting on bar stools getting drunk. You were sitting on church pews getting drunk. And it wasn't because of alcohol. It's because the Spirit of God comes among us and it starts bubbling something up within your soul until you can't handle it no more. And you go to acting up in His presence like a child playing before the Father's door. The difference now is you've got it in order. We still clap our hands, but we clap them in order to the Word. We still dance. We just change partners. Hallelujah. What is it? We still worship, but now our worship has come back into order. Believe it, I never worshiped until I got to church. Oh yeah, we did. I say, yes, we did. We worship jobs, we worship vehicles, we worship homes, we worship all kinds of things. Amen. But after you get saved, you still got to have a job, you still got to have a house, we still got boats. But the only difference is you put those things into their proper place. They don't rule over you. You rule over it. Those things do not dominate our lives where they take the utmost place in our lives. We put them right in their position. It's all right. It's just changed. Why? He brought it into order. We still listen to music. I could say some things right here, and I think I will. But I'm not just talking about any kind of music. Preach, help me. Some of this stuff that's played on the radio ain't nothing more than rock and roll. Just because you put the name Jesus in it don't mean it's good. Some of it talks about Trinitarian doctrine. Some of it talks about false baptism. And I say, that's out of order. Every radio song ain't a church song. Well, they just cut the streaming off, I'm sure. It's out of order. I'm meddling now, so hang on. It's out of order. Amen. We want something that brings the presence of God down. We want something that pleases Him. We want something that brings joy to His heart. We don't want some rock and roll. We didn't convert from some metalhead to some kind of Christian metalhead. We're not from rap out in the world. We don't need that kind of rap. We don't need Christian rap. It all come from hell. So what happens when you get praying? Amen. Ain't no such thing as, well, that's Christian rap. Oh, really? God ain't no poom, 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 chka, poom, boom, boom, chka, boom, boom, boom. Oh, no. He changes that. And every boom you boom is closer to His house. It's closer to His throne. Closer to His spirit. Brother, you don't need a preacher sitting in your vehicle the way you tell it's right or not. You know whether it brings real worship. Some of this stuff don't bring no more worship than nothing in the world. We need something that invites the presence of God in you that can make this life habitable for worship. Amen. He brings order. I knew I should have stopped combing 3 days ago. He brings order to your closet. He brings order to the sister's closets. And He does bring order to the man's closet. I know sisters got a long way. They got a lot more to give an account from what men does. A man looks about like every other man out here. The difference ain't maybe what he's wearing, how he wears it. Brother, it's message. It ain't because of what we got, it's how we wear it. It's what we do with what we got. It brings order to our houses. Lord, just keep on giving them. I ain't got a word of this. This is all good. Hang on. He brings order to our homes. But we can't kick our wives around like doormats and expect our lives to be in order. We can't expect that to be pleasing to God. Amen. The wives can't sit and be dominant over the husband. Tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, you better be careful. I'll get your hide. Yeah, God may get yours too. Like those men that was going fishing. Walked into the house and said, hey, buddy, let's go fishing. His wife said, he ain't going fishing. Now get out of here. Something's out of order. Can you imagine how that'd make you feel if you're standing there? Something's out of order. But listen, it's not that a man dominates to the place where it's his way or the highway. But I think that we should love our wives. Amen. God don't dominate over His bride. He don't have some dominating spirit where He dominates all brother and sister. When His life comes into yours, you recognize that you and Him are in a love relationship and you care about how He feels. You don't want to do nothing to displease Him, just like a wife doesn't want to displease her husband. We want it to be in order. And I'm moving past that as quick as I can. It's still true anyway. It's got to be in order. Amen. I said there's a balance to it. There's a balance to it. There's a balance in our homes. There's a balance to our young people. Hallelujah. Water's still there, just like it was before. But now it's come into position. Now it's only been placed where God had it designed to be in. The outside is coming under some transformation process to where it can move, that God can get something out of it. Greatest desire of my life is to be something that God can get something out of it. You know why I say that? Because there's times in my life where He couldn't get nothing out of it. Why we had it so full of all this chaos and disorder, He couldn't get nothing out of it. But the greatest desire of any believer, Lord, make my life something that you can receive something of me, Lord. Father, I want to worship you right. I want to believe your word correctly. Oh my. You get saved, your eye color don't change. When you get saved, your hand size doesn't change. Or your feet size doesn't change. But it does change where those feet go. It does change what those eyes see. It does change what is put in those hands. At one time, they may have been cigarettes in those hands. But there ain't going to be no cigarettes no more. Darkness, chaos, disorder got put in its place. Come into order. My eyes don't look at the same thing they used to. You get in order. You don't have to worry about them eyes, brother, looking at women. I ain't going to say you don't have to guard against it. I know the prophet had a cross in his car and he had it there for a reason. He's a man, that's why. But he done it to remind him of the order. If you would have seen this earth in its chaotic condition, and you would have seen it as a ball of mass twisting out yonder in the atmosphere, and them to think that you heard God's word tell you it's going to become habitable, you would think there's no way. There is no way that person will ever, that earth will ever get where it's supposed to be at. But you didn't hear what God said, maybe. God done said it. So let it be said, so let it be done. Just as God said it. Power transformation, I'll hurry now. But listen, now notice the only thing he had to do after he spoke it, speaking it, he could go to rest because he spoke it. He said it. And it all has to come to pass because he spoke it. I don't know how much it had to go through before it came to pass. How many rejects or whatever more. But it had to come to pass. Hallelujah. Why does it have to come to pass? Because he said it would come to pass. He spoke it. I ain't telling you I got that all figured out, but all I can tell you is God's going to bring it to pass. I don't know how he can fix some marriages. All I know is he can bring it to pass. I don't know how he's going to save some, but all I know is I'm going to rest on his promise, rest upon his word. He will bring it to pass. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what the condition is. He's done said it in his word. Amen. The same thing. Now notice he said it. He said because he said it would come to pass, he had spoke it. And the same thing is about having a church. He's going to have a bride. Care how many websites, how many men quits around this message, how many throws a towel in. He's going to have a bride. And it's not just going to be a lame bride or a half bride. Or a crippled bride. And it ain't going to be a Laodicea blind bride. It's going to be a word bride. I'm going to say it again. He is going to have a bride. He's able for these stones to rise to children of Abraham. Dig into that a little while. If we don't follow him, he'll get somebody else that will follow him. He's going to have it because he already spoke it. Listen, whatever he says, it has to be that way. It cannot change. It must come forth that way because he said it would. And God cannot change his mind about his didn't matter what it looks like. Didn't matter the condition. Didn't matter the chaos. Didn't matter the scenario. He says it. If you would have looked at the earth of Abraham at 100 years old and the earth of Sarah at 90 years old, it looks completely ridiculous. It looks, how in the, there's no way to think that God's word had already said that Abraham's going to have a seed and Sarah's going to be the mother of that son. It's already said. And God ain't retracting that word when he says it. It looks impossible. It does. Can you imagine them walking around the house on canes, barely getting around, but God's word is still God's word. Can you imagine God telling Abraham, Sarah, your wife is going to have a son indeed, but Lord, how in the world is she going to ever have a son? She can't even hardly get out of the bed in the morning. Have you seen this woman you're talking about having children? Have you seen the wrinkles? I mean, have you seen this woman? Have you seen this one? How in the world can a woman whose milk veins is dried up and is completely ridiculous even think she can even have a child? She'd been past menopause for 45 years. But Abraham could take that cane and tell Sarah, but God done said it. I don't know how he's going to do this. I mean, I don't know how he's going to take care of this. I don't know how he's going to fix this. And I certainly don't know how he's going to fix you. But all I know is God done said it. He told me where to go. He told me what to do. He's even changed my name to get me ready to be able to have it. And God's going to take care of it. She creeps around the house. Takes her 45 minutes to make minute rice. God, that sounds like me. Oh, yeah. I've been cooking for myself this week. Been quite interesting. I got 3 flavored tea on accident. I'm smiling, though. And I'm here. And my shirt ain't wrinkled yet. How in the world, Lord, are you going to do this? There ain't no way that woman's going to have a baby. But the word of Elohim brought the power of transformation. And he waved it, glory. He waved it over her life. And when he waved the word over Sarah, the body had to come under order to the word. He had to bring them into a condition that would be conducive to produce life. Listen to what I'm saying. He's got to make her habitable. That's good preaching right there. I don't care who you are. He had to make her inhabitable. Listen, not only that, he's got to bring life to the seed of Abraham. He had to bring them into a condition that God could move through them and wave over them to bring their body subject or in order to the promised word. It took... I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to preach tomorrow's sermon. But it took the king of Salem, Jerusalem, which is the King of Peace. Amen. To bring their body back in order to receive the promised Son. And if it took Melchizedek's message to be waved over their bodies to make them inhabitable, what about you and I living in the end time who God has done spoken? He's going to inhabit your body, not just inhabit it. He's going to change that body. He's going to bring it back to youth again. It took that ministry being present to change the atmosphere, the condition surrounding their lives. Whew. If it happened to Abraham, remember it happens to Abraham's seed. For Abraham says it like this in voice of the sign. He said, now that'll be a sign. And the voice of the sign will be Malachi 4. And I believe that with all of my heart. It's to restore the people back to the apostolic faith of the fathers. Amen. Not John the Baptist. Elijah the prophet. Amen. John fulfilled Malachi 3. Luke 17:30. Revelation 10:7 fulfills Malachi 4. To restore the people back to apostolic of the fathers, there's a sign, there's a voice, exactly according to the scripture. The sign is a sign that it wasn't Sodom. God manifested into human beings. Whew. Not human being, human beings. Because whatever that was that spoke to Abraham got over in Abraham. Whatever that was that got waved over Sarah got into Sarah. Why? Oh, God. Because that message had a power transformation in it. It had power to be able to bring creation to deadness, dryness, and chaos. Hallelujah. This is why I preach. Because I believe that word can do that. It's the reason why we circle the globe is because we believe God's word can do that. Amen. In my ignorance, you're in whatever God's word has the power to transform whoever, whenever, wherever. See, there's a voice exactly according to the scripture. The sign is a sign that it was at Sodom. God manifested in human beings. And he said, where's your wife, Sarah? She's in the tent behind you. He said, I'm going to visit you according to the time that I promised you, which is a season, which is in the right cycle. When she's fertile to receive. Glory to God, somebody. Don't you see what God had to do for you and I? We went from Luther, Wesley, Pentecost right on down until finally God come to an age where it would be the season. Amen! It would be the season that transformation could occur upon God's chosen bride. I'm going to visit you according to the time that I promised you, said. And Sarah back behind him said, how can that be? Me being an old woman. And him being an old man. And like my husband out there, an old man, said, we heard nothing like that with us. Ain't nothing like that going on with us. It just can't be. And he said, why did Sarah doubt that? Saying in her heart, how can these things be? She laughs. She laughs up her sleeve. I've heard some good ones in my day, but that's a good one right there. How can it be? What are you looking at, Sarah? Darkness. Water. Chaos. Wrinkles. Crippledness. Old age. Pains. Groans. Aches. Amen, somebody. Conditions. Penalties of sin. Hallelujah. The penalty of sin was upon her body, causing her to age. Amen, somebody. And she's looking at the darkness that has come upon her earth. But just because Sarah doubts it, doesn't mean that God's going to retract it or find somebody else. Listen to me. Emptiness does not change the word. Void does not change the word. Dryness does not change the word. I do better with a pool. I do better with an amen. I do better with some songs. But dryness ain't going to change the word. Because I preached in that church before. But something happens to Sarah. It's so ridiculous that it caused her, it moved her to laughter. Because it's so ridiculous. But even after she laughed, the sign of the Messiah responds and says, but Sarah, thy wife will have a son. Indeed. I hear your laughter. I hear what you're looking at. I know what you're concentrating on. But you're still going to have a son. You can make fun of him all you want. Talk about it all you want. You're going to produce this life. You're going to produce this son, this seed son. Something happens. Something happens to this woman. Because even though she laughed, Abraham's going to believe him. And whether she knows or not, she's going to believe him. So there must have been some preaching going on around the house. And Sarah's mind started getting conditioned. Amen! I said some preaching must have been going on in the church, and the word got to being delivered week in and week out, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, until finally her mind becomes conditioned until she's going, I am going to have a son. God done said it. Where'd you get that revelation at? It came from Melchizedek. It come from Elohim. It come from Almighty God. What'd he do? The power of transformation. That this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The power of transformation. Sarah started confessing and having some powerful affirmations. I am saved. I am a believer. I am a child of God. I am going to the rapture. I am going to have a body change. I am going to be inhabitable. I am going to bring forth of the Spirit. Amen. You've got to keep that promise right in front of you and just keep believing it. Just keep walking toward it. Take a vision of a perfect body and keep walking toward it. Sarah had to take a vision of a woman having a baby, producing a life. She had to keep that vision of the Word. Abraham kept testifying. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read to you now a testimony from Abraham himself. What would you have to say concerning this woman producing a son, Abraham? That old woman producing a son. Let me just tell you what I mean. And Abraham says, trial 1964. And God told me, brother, that's all I need to hear. Just say the rest of it, Abraham. I got you, man. And God told me that I'd have a baby through Sarah. Hagar. You realize God never even recognized him anyway. God only recognized one son out of Abraham. That's your Bible. Amen. Take thy son, thine. God told me that I would have a baby through Sarah. And through that child, the whole world would be blessed. And I'd be the father of nations quickly. Quickly I returned for this joy that was in my heart. I'd always loved children. And I thought I'd never have any. Why, Abraham? Barrenness, darkness, chaos, disorder. What it was caused from? The fall. I'd always loved children. I thought I'd never have any. But when God said I was going to have it, I believed him. I went to the doctor to make arrangements, and he run me out of the office. And God went, well, if the doctor don't believe it, just forget it. I mean, if the doctor don't believe this, he's educated. I mean, he's been sophisticated. He's edumacated. He run me out of his office. Mr. Unbeliever was sitting there. Watch how all the doubter starts coming up. Satan wants to try to attach that old darkness of chaos and disorder. He wants to attach it around your mind to try to bring and pull your mind away from the Word of God. So there's unbelievers sitting there. There's skeptics sitting over there. There's liar over there. There's deceivers sitting over there. And they're all around. Because buddy, once they get all their buddies together, they get a rally going on. Mr. Unbeliever was sitting there. And I went out in the street. And the authorities wanted to arrest me for being a mental case. And then as the years went by, Mr. Impatient. Oh, I know him well. That's my wife. I know him well. What is it about men sitting in vehicles waiting on women? I'm not going there. Been called that a time or two, I bet you. Mr. Impatient tormented me day and night. The first month I said to my wife, 25 years, the first month he said, I said to my wife Sarah, she was way past menopause. It ceased to be with her as it with woman. I said to Sarah, honey, we got all the little booties and the bird eye and all the pins. Are we all ready? How about you tonight? You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get this token put over your home. You got everything in order, getting ready. It's coming.
Brother Branham says, are we already, are we? Yeah, already. It's going to happen. When?
Now.
I like that kind of faith. You watch at the end of the 28 days, I said, how do you feel, honey? There ain't no difference, Abraham. Well, he said it. I said, bless God, sir. Don't you doubt it. God said so. We're going to have it anyhow. This went on through the years. Through the years. You may have prayed for years. You may have sought God for years. But God done said it. And after year after year of passing Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever, oh, they'll make fun of me. 25 years later, I would have loved to have been there. You know what I'm talking about. You're laying in bed and she, whack! And you come from the dead, as I did. You're over there going, she says, it's time. It's time for what? We got to go. We got to go. We go. Let's go. And I jump up. I get everything ready. I mean, I'm getting it all ready. We got to have this. Got to have that. Got to have this and got to have that and got to have this. Jump in the car and look around. Forgetting something. Forgetting something. Susan, where you at? I'm not going by myself. And you're not going by yourself. There's a whole bunch of bride who's going to go with you. Those who's been ready. Those received the promise of the word. She said, call my mom and let her know that I'm fixing to have this baby. We're headed to the hospital. 5 a.m, dead asleep. The phone rings. Hello. Where am I? What are you doing? I said, see there. I hung up. She said, you got all done. The phone starts ringing going, what in the world is going on? And Miss Calm and collected. We're headed to the hospital. We're headed over to have a baby. But not me. My motor's ramped up. I got to get in this car. We're going to drive 500 mile an hour. We're going to go subsonic to get there. Because I want no chance of you having that before we get there. And at least the brothers can say amen. Years I waited. Hallelujah. 25 years later, the baby was born when I was 100 years old. God didn't tell me I'd have the baby the next day. He just said I'd have it. And I don't care how long it took. God promised it. God promised it. I'd take that home tonight. God promised it. I waited 25 years, though they thought I was going to get so old, I'd die. Glory. I said the devil thought you'd get so old you'd just eventually die. But I said, I can't die. He was an invincible army until God's word was manifested in his life. Satan could not take Abraham until Abraham manifested the promise of that spoken word. I can't die. The promise is to me. God said so. Time didn't change the promise. Conditions don't change the promise. Skeptics don't change the promise. Unbelievers can't change the promise. Let me close with this. And that's Abraham's seed. Not stagger, no matter what the condition looks like. Or what science says or what anybody else says. It's God's word I'm holding to. It's God's word I'm holding to it. That's Abraham's seed. Let our musicians come. Listen to this. Job said, though the skin worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Listen to this statement. Regardless how little we are, how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy we are, how sick we are, how afflicted we are, the law of God's Spirit by His Word makes it obey Him. How sick you feel, how bad your fever is, how mostly tore up you are. God's word makes it obey Him. It forces the issue. And He says, give it back. If we could just think of that for a moment, it forces it regardless of the conditions. No matter what the condition is, the law of God's Word forces the conditions to cope with the Word. It's got to. Let's bow our hearts this evening. Praise be to God. I want to say that over you tonight as I come this, bring this to a close. It don't matter how little you are, how indifferent you are, how small you feel, the things that surround your life, how bad the sickness is, no matter what the doctor said, the conditions that surrounds whatever sickness you got. God's Word is God's Word. Listen, church, we're either going to believe or we're not. So we might as well just take God at His Word. Why would you lean on your own understanding when God has done made the promise over your life? All Abraham had to do was simply take God at His Word and let God's Word stand for itself. It wasn't what Abraham thought about it. God's Word had done been spoken. God's going to bring His Word to pass. And what they didn't understand is that body in that old age, God was going to force that body to be turned back young again in order to cope with His Word, to bring it into condition, to be able to bring a manifestation of the seed upon the face of the earth. Don't you see He's done the same thing to you and I? He's forcing your body to cope with the words. Look past skeptic unbelievers, all these things that surround us, they're all around us. I've dealt with it all week. But it don't deter me. It ain't making me look sideways. It's making me look upwards. I'm believing in God's promise. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that if there's some condition, Lord, that's surrounding an individual in this place, Lord, maybe we've gotten our eyes on maybe some sickness. The conditions try to overwhelm us. But Lord, I pray tonight, may every heart be turned toward You. May every life, Lord, I pray, may our faith be able to reach under, Lord, into the unseen. And may we just take the declaration of Your Word and what You've already said. Lord, help us, I pray. Why do we even preach along these lines? It's because we're so hindered by our humanity. Our humanity gets the best of us. But I pray, Lord, help this Sarah, help this Abraham. May we look past the conditions. Lord God, conditions, it's nothing to You. For Your prophet said, regardless of the conditions, the Spirit of God's Word is going to make our body obey it. I say tonight, Lord, may the enemy move back. Regardless, Lord, may we stand by faith as the seed of Abraham. And may we call those things that are not as though they are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may our faith reach to that level, I pray. Lord God, we want to be able to rise to the occasion. Lord, we want our faith to be able to be lifted. I pray tonight, Lord, sweep across this place. Build our faith in Your Word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Stand your feet with me. Make me more like Thee. And make me more like Thee with Jesus. Just worship Him a moment. Hallelujah. With love. And maybe more. Oh, let's just sing it to Him now. If that's your desire, won't you let Him know? Oh, make me more like Thee. Oh, Jesus. Like You tonight.
May our faith, Lord, rest in the spoken word. Lord, may our faith rest in the promise, Lord. Why don't you give me a heart, oh, that is filled with love, and make me more like thee? Well, mercy rewrote my life. Come on, sir, and Abraham. Won't you testify tonight by your hands being raised? What happened to you? He rewrote my life. That's what happened to me. Hallelujah.
Well, I should have fallen.
Hallelujah. But the power of transformation come by my way. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, it rewrote.
Oh, I want to tell you one more time. Be to God. Amen.
I said it's mercy.
What took your sickness away? What took your chaos away? What brought your disorder away? I say it's mercy tonight.
Mercy. Yes, it rewrote my life. Spread your wings like an eagle and fly. Oh, you wasn't born for the chaos.
Amen.
No, you were born to soar in the sky. So
praise be to God. Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll let you go this evening. Certainly appreciate the Word of God. Ain't His Word so good? Why? Because He said so. How do I know that God loves me? Because He said so. Amen. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Well, victory today, it is mine. And I told Satan, glory! Oh, victory today. Help me sing it. I said that victory is mine. Well, victory is mine. Well, victory today, yes, it's mine. Hallelujah. Cause I told Satan to get behind. Well, victory today, it is mine. Praise be to God. Well, I would just march right on out of this building, get on in my car. Mr. Unbeliever and Skeptic comes around and say, "It's mine." And doubt comes around your mind. Chaos, disorder comes around your mind. Says, "How do you know that?" "Because God said so." Oh, trouble, darkness, chaos. It moveth through the night. But joy is coming in the morning. Oh, Satan, try me while you got time. Find me while you got time. It's coming a time, oh glory, where I have come into the season of the change of my body. Amen. And the Word of God's going to change us. And in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet. I don't know about you. I can done hear the sound of the combine. It's coming down through there. We're getting ready to go home. Amen. Gotta go. Gotta go. Jesus getting us ready. Let's play that. Well, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Well, Jesus getting us ready. Oh, now Jesus getting us ready for that. Tell me who shall. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord.